Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about all of the connections between your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture. Thanks for joining me. In January, every year, something special happens in Harrisburg, the Pennsylvania Farm Show. And you're thinking, okay, why would you have a farm show in the middle of January? Well, there's lots of reasons for doing that. And did you know it's an all-indoor show? We have lots of things to talk about and connections to make today. We'll be hearing from the Pennsylvania Dairy Princess. We'll be hearing from cattle fitters. Did you know that's a real job and why it's a real job? Did you know it was a real job? And how the past, the present, and career development all fits together through antique tractors and the community around a group of knitters. What a wide group of things to talk about and connections to make. Here we go. The Pennsylvania Farm Show is an all-indoor farm show. If you've never been to the Pennsylvania Farm Show, just go. It is something else. It's all indoor. It's held in January, and it's essentially a fair. So if you think about a state fair, that's essentially what this is, except it's held in January. In Maryland, we hold our state fair in August. In Indiana, where I'm from, we held it in August. In most of the states I know, you're holding them in the summer. Pennsylvania decided to stop and think about this and said, we're holding ours in January. And let's put some thought around that. When you have a farm show and you have folks who are in agriculture, there's a rhythm to the agricultural system. There's a rhythm to Mother Nature. If you're going to pull everyone off the farm, you don't want to be in planting season, you don't want to be in harvesting season, and you sure don't want to be in birthing season. So you have a couple options. You could either do it in the winter, or you could do it in the summer after planting, before harvesting, which is why you typically see August programs, August fairs. The farm show in Pennsylvania has the ability to be at the Harrisburg Expo Complex. If you've never been to the farm show complex, it is all indoor and it is amazing. So just go. You may be thinking, why do I want to go to a farm show? Well, here's some connections for you. As I was walking through, there's definitely a rhythm. We talked about the rhythm of the seasons and Mother Nature putting that out there. There's a rhythm to the day. I started off in the farm show in the morning and you see the older folks in there who are, this was a weekday. We'll preface with this. It was a weekday. And this is when you see the school buses coming in. You see the kids coming in. The field trips. Remember those things, those wild things before our world went upside down and inside out? A field trip to a farm show? So you're getting the agricultural piece in there. If you think agricultures and farm shows aren't a big deal, just look at your stock market. They are definitely a big deal. So you have all these kids coming in and you have the older folks who are retired or have a lifestyle that allows them to be more flexible during the day. As the day would go on, the rhythm of the crowds would change. You could definitely tell that school was back in session. The kids would leave. The folks who had the ability to be out during the day had gone. And then you start having families come in and you start seeing the young folks are at the farm show on a date. Wow, remember those? And then you would see the families come in. You would see mom and dad and maybe grandma and grandpa and the kids in the strollers, lots of things to see, do, touch. And the ability is to go around and have booths set up specifically designed for young children to touch, feel, and experience. So I'm walking through, watching all of this, and the first exhibit I came to was the New Holland Tractor exhibit. The big draw with all the kids, especially the mechanically inclined kids, was the great big pulling tractor. So if you go to RaisingConnections.com or Raising Connections Facebook, you can see the pictures and the videos we're going to be talking about. This great big pulling tractor, and it almost looks like, if you remember Scooby-Doo and some of the monster vehicles that were there in the Scooby-Doo cartoons, it looks like that, but they're super powered up. To be able to touch and feel those up close, just a draw for young kids. And the guys who aren't so young and the ladies who aren't so young and taking the pictures. But that led into the self-driving tractors, the GPS driving, the solar-powered lawnmowers. So you have everything from pulling tractors to GPS systems to giant harvesters to can you buy one tractor, one mobile device, and use different accessories to it. Think about it sort of like a vacuum cleaner maybe, where you have multiple devices that you can put onto one engine. New Holland's coming up with some new designs for those things. Moving on from that particular exhibit and walking on down in the thread of the tractors and the machinery, one of the things that you see is in this giant complex, an entire arena with tractors. And this is where fun is always. And you can, again, RaisingConnections.com or the Raising Connections Facebook page and see the pedal tractor pulls. Just go and watch. The young lady who won this year, her the smile was everywhere. We're in this great big arena. You've got square dancing tractors. And I'll give you an image of this. It's Farmalls and John Deere's and Cases and Cubs. They're all out there doing these dances with the tractors to the music. But you all around there, you see hit and miss engines and you see the antique tractors. You see the pedal tractors and you see families. you have an educational component. With the folks sitting around talking about this, and the young gentleman declined to be on radio with us, but Paradise, Pennsylvania, a family was there and they had a doodle bug and an Empire Jeep. We had a great conversation about the ultimate in recycling, if you will. I'll put a picture of all these tractors up so you can see them. After World War II, there were a lot of Jeep parts left. And so Empire Tractor put together a tractor made from Jeep parts. Not so different than some things that happen today. And the ultimate in recycling was the doodle bugs. So when the family vehicle, the Model T, the Model A, the Buick, the one I know is a Buick, was ready to be replaced, from the Sears and Roebuck catalog, you could order parts to convert your car into a tractor on the farm. So is Amazon really that different than the Sears and Roebuck catalog of the day gone by? That's a conversation for a different day, but an interesting connection. You have all these folks sitting around with their machinery, and the amount of engineers and the amount of farmers and the amount of architects and the amount of professional positions, blue-collar positions, and hobbyists all coming together in the same person was a story we saw over and over and over. Those hobbies are really important to give us time to stop and process and work through things mentally so that we're ready to go for the next item that we have on our agenda. As we walked on down, keeping in mind you have the engineers, you have the hobbyists, you have the people who are out there as their family doing their life together. We walked into the cattle barn and there was cattle fitting. Cattle fitting is when you shape the hair around the specific attribute on the cow. Let's listen to this piece and find out a little bit more. So what is your name and what are you doing here today?
My name's Grace Strait and I am a fitter, so I'm going and clipping my clients' animals for them for the show.
And being a fitter is a full-time professional job?
Yes.
Tell us
a good bit.
Yes. And tell us, how did you get into fitting and what fitting is? Because it's sort of like tailoring clothing, but not really.
Yeah. I got into it just by starting to clip, and then I was really good at it. And people noticed that, and they started hiring me, and it just kind of roller coaster from there. And now I'm kind of doing it as we're living now.
So fitting is shaping the hair on the animal in a way to best show the structure of the animal, and since it's meat or dairy, the best use of the meat or dairy ability of the animal.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a dairy animal we've got here. We've got a clip of video. What are you grooming this animal for? What are you fitting this animal out for?
So I'm body clipping her to make her look clean. And then I'm leaving that top hair. So we will blow that up and we will straighten that out to make that top line and the top of that animal look straight.
And dairy cows versus beef cows, they have a very different structure. A lot of people think they look bony if they're dairy cow.
Yes. So it just is more feminine for them to not look bony, but dairy is what we call it. And it's not them being skinny, it's not them being neglected, it's just them being
a dairy cow.
A dairy cow, and that's how they're built.
And it's a feminine shape.
Yes.
They're not putting on beef muscle, they're making milk.
Yes. Yep.
Very nice. Thank you for taking a minute to talk with us.
No problem.
It never ceases to amaze me that something you enjoy, something that you're good at, goes from a side hustle to a career, and how all those connections come together. Did you know that Pennsylvania is one of the largest dairy-producing states in the United States? And most of those dairy-producing farms are less than 100 acres. When we come back, let's hear from the Pennsylvania Dairy Princess and learn a little bit more about the hows and the whys and the connections here. Welcome back to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about all of your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture. And this morning, we're getting it all in one. The Pennsylvania Farm Show is a really interesting place to go. We've talked about the complex and what it looks like on the inside and who's there, so that mindscaping of what we're seeing as we're walking around. When we left, we were talking about fitting of cows. The interesting part on that, you see it with sheep, you see it with horses, you see it with dogs. Anybody who has a doodle dog knows about taking their dog to the groomer, or what happens if you don't take your dog to the groomer? Well, this is sort of like a fitting for a cow or a sheep, even a horse. You're actually shaping the hair, not unlike us going to get our hair cut. You're shaping the hair to make the attributes that you're trying to play up, if you will, seem more apparent, seem more prevalent. When this happens, you have this side hustle that turns into a professional job. In the sheep barn, the sheep shearing is a big deal, and we're going to come back to that with sheep to shawl. When we're walking around, we've talked about the hobbies that you're seeing. We're talking about how one person can represent so many things on a farm, in a farm show, and how we as individuals learn from them and they learn from us. We all get better and stronger. We've learned about the connections between the pulling tractors, the electronic tractors, the GPS tractors, solar-driven tractors, cow fitting, and the Dairy Princess. The Pennsylvania Dairy Princess is chosen each year. It's a young woman who chooses to run and to represent the Pennsylvania Dairy Association. One of the questions that we ask this person is, why did you decide to run? And are the guys, can they do this? Is there a dairy prince somewhere as well? And we get the answers to all of those. Where does this go? Why are we doing it? And I want you to think about this as we're listening to this piece. The young gentleman declined to be interviewed, and that's absolutely his right. When you start seeing some of these folks who are sitting back doing their things, and it's the quiet introvert people. It's the people who want to be in their barn, doing their hobby, using their hands, using their minds, doing their own thing in their own way, but yet come to a show and celebrate what they have done, but they don't want to use their voices to put that information out there. They want it to be seen. That's why we have the social media, so we can see what they're doing without having to hear their voice because of their personality. One of the things that the Dairy Princess is chosen for and the Dairy Ambassadors are chosen for is their ability to use their voice and their speaking so that they could educate people. Different strengths, not all the same strength, and that's the connection that makes us all special. Let's listen to this section on the dairy industry, which is not just farming, but the dairy industry in the state of Pennsylvania. Welcome to Raising Connections. Can you introduce yourself so we have a voice and your information all together in one?
Hi, well, my name is Darcy Helsel, and I am the Pennsylvania State Alternate Dairy Princess.
That's actually a really big job. You can see her picture and profile on the RaisingConnections.com site. Why did you decide to become a dairy princess, and what is it?
Well, first, a dairy princess is a young woman that will represent the dairy industry by advocating for drinking milk and for dairy farmers. And we will travel the state to different events. And one of our biggest events is actually Farm Show, where we will be able to make lots of connections with consumers and speak about the nutritional benefits of dairy products.
Is this your first Farm Show?
This is actually my first Farm Show being here as the state dairy princess. But I have been to Farm Show multiple times. I actually show goats here, so nothing new here.
Okay, so I have to ask this. As a dairy princess, are goats considered dairy animals?
See, I'm not supposed to say that they are, but I actually have dairy goats. So dairy goats are one way that I can kind of connect a different avenue of dairy production, but not traditionally, no.
So traditionally in our culture, it is milk from cows. Okay, and milk from dairy comes in there. So you're right, you bring lots of avenues together in this. And as Dairy Princess, you're advocating cow's milk.
Yes, yes.
So at the risk of sounding naive, do all cows give milk?
So it really depends. Like, you will have female cows, and female cows will not give milk until they have their first calf. This is a common misconception that many people think that every single cow gives milk. This is not true. So it's only the female calves, and that's after they have their very first baby.
And so help us understand how the cows can actually do this. I'm throwing this question at her a little bit. She's rolling with it beautifully. So the cows have enough milk for their calves and for us.
We're really proud about our genetic improvements. So dairy farmers have actually bred their cattle to produce more milk. And this is really good because we're able to get more milk out of these cattle. And that's more milk production for us to enjoy. And that is wholesome and healthy milk.
And so the science, you touched on the genetics of it, and there's also the science of the nutrition that goes with this. So the way we're feeding the cows who are producing calves, as well as milk for those calves and milk for our consumption, has made a big difference, not only genetically, but also what they're eating to be able to do this production.
Yes. Nutrition for our dairy cattle is really important. Farmers actually have nutritionists that will come in. They can analyze different feeds that the cattle will be eating. And this is really important because cattle need about 8,000 calories a day when they're being milked.
I would love to have 8,000 calories a day, all in chocolate and Big Macs, maybe.
Yes, me too.
That's not the kind of nutrition we're talking about, though, is it?
No.
No, okay. But it's not all salad either, because cows are vegetarians, so there has to be some protein and things in there, and that's where your nutritionist comes into play.
Yes, exactly.
So by being Dairy Princess, you're out here talking about and educating folks on Pennsylvania dairy practices. You were also in high school and very active. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I actually have grown up on my family's dairy farm. I'm really proud of my roots, and I use Dairy Princess as an avenue to be able to advocate for my passion and also my family's farm. So I am a senior in high school right now. I'm looking to further my education at college. I think Dairy Princess has been a great experience for me to be able to learn more about the dairy industry and really learn my passion for it and where I want to take my future. So I've learned more about the science behind it, and I've made some great connections with people or professionals who are really making great changes in the industry.
The industry's changed a lot, and to be able to be in high school, have the speaking ability that you have, the presence that you have, already put you leaps and bounds ahead of where some individuals going in are, but it also allows you to look at those connections, those wide ranges of careers. Where do you think you might head in college?
So right now, I'm in the process of submitting multiple applications.
That's always a process.
Oh, yes, it is. So I'm looking for areas like agriculture engineering, food science, animal science, and some different ones like that. So I really have a passion for animals and also the food side of agriculture.
A really good friend of mine, and we'll digress just for a moment and come back, is a food scientist and worked for Thomas's English Muffins and Kraft developing pink milk and the whipped creams that have different flavors in them. So there's a future there.
That's interesting.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the great thing about food is everyone needs to eat. So that's something that really connects us all.
Absolutely. And it's a very cultural item. It's a warmth item. It's a homey item. And it's a nutritional item. It's something there. So what is your personal goal for Dairy Princess this year in 2023?
I think as a Dairy Princess year, I really want to make more connections. I want to push myself outside of my comfort zone. And I think that this, by doing this, I'll be better able to serve my family's dairy farm and continue to grow my passion for the dairy industry.
Absolutely. Comfort zones are always something to push just a little bit and come back to. Are there dairy kings or dairy princesses? Well, I guess there really aren't dairy princesses. Are there dairy? How do the guys get involved in this?
Well, this is a great question. And through our program, which is the Pennsylvania Dairy Princess and Promotion Services, we actually offer the opportunity for males to get involved as well. This is a position called a dairy ambassador, and they can get involved on the grassroots level and really just advocate for the dairy industry as well. We like to be inclusive, and you know, everyone needs to eat. And if you have a passion for the dairy industry, that's really what we're looking for.
Absolutely. So I have to ask this. What is your favorite cheese and your favorite ice cream?
Ooh.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, especially when there's over 2,000 varieties of cheese.
Oh,
but
that's hard.
I gotta say, my favorite type of cheese is pepper jack. I really love pepper jack.
Yum.
And then my favorite flavor of ice cream actually comes from Richie's Dairy, which is right by my high school. And I really love their salted caramel chocolate pretzel ice cream.
Oh, that sounds decadent.
It's so good.
So decadent. I went to Hershey Medical Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and the dairy was right down there. And that's where I got it. I can't even say it straight. Tea berry ice cream is my favorite.
Oh, yes.
You either like it or you don't. There's no in between. So what is the council's goal for this year? What is the promotions department with the dairy in Pennsylvania? What is their goal? We heard your personal goal. What is the goal for you that they have for you this year?
So really, the Dairy Princess program is all about spreading the word about dairy and the goodness that it provides both our families and our bodies. So this is just a really great way, and by using our princesses and other ambassadors and promoters, we're really able to spread that word about dairy, and I think that their goal for us is probably to get us to go out of our comfort zones a little bit and continue to represent our hardworking dairy farmers.
What about the folks that have allergies or sensitivities to milk?
So this is a really common question I get asked. So there is a difference between being allergic to milk and also having a lactose intolerance sensitivity. Now, the thing is, my dad is lactose intolerant.
Oh, as a dairy farmer.
So something that he has learned is that he really likes the milk called Fairlife. So what they do is they filter out the sugar in the milk, and then they also add the enzyme lactase, which will help with the digestive process. Now, some other options, and I know our milk goes down to there, is Lactaid. So that's a great option. And if you didn't know, some hard cheeses that are aged a lot more do not have as much lactose, so that means that it's easier to digest.
All kinds of knowledge. Thank you for being part of Raising Connections, and we wish you the best. We'll put you on our Facebook page so you can say hi to everybody as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
In talking with Dairy Princess Darcy, one of the things that crossed my mind, and I'm sure there's very different things that stood out in your mind, but the thing that stood out in my mind is that's a lot of types of cheese, and I'm going to need a bigger charcuterie board in order to try all of these out, because cheese and crackers is personally one of my favorite things. It makes life worth living. As I continued walking through the farm show and putting everything together with the different interviews, hoping and thinking of you, our listeners, in my mind, one of the really interesting places I was able to go was up into the press arena, which is in a skybox. And from that view in the skybox, I was able to watch the Sheep to Shawl or Shear to Shawl event. There are various teams of very highly skilled individuals that were sitting in groups in a timed event that would start with a sheared piece of wool, raw, and each of the people in that group would have a special piece to do. They would take that from the sheared sheep, make it into a shawl in 2 to 3 hours. At the end of that time, it would be then judged and it would be a wearable garment. I just was amazed at seeing this. The laughter, the community, and it brought me back to the spirit that this program has brought to you in. The connections between people, the things that you learn from each other. We'll be hearing from Team Wasabi, the Sheep to Shawl group that I chose to interview. We'll be hearing from them in the next few weeks. This team was brought together in the memory of a team member that they had lost, and how that community forms around people, how we as people need connections, and that whether it is walking through a show, seeing, having a conversation, being out amongst people, enjoying a piece of cheese, talking about a hit or miss engine or a doodle bug, I hope you find a connection this week. And we'll see you here next week, same time, same place.